found out yesterday that Pastor Mark is humorous. We didn't know. I think all the times we've known him in Las Vegas and through the Holy Spirit Conference, through Deb and Roy, and even last time we came here, we didn't know that he laughs. So yesterday is when we found out. And I was so blessed, and so much blessed, especially at the funeral yesterday. It was powerful. It changed everything about how I think and I look at things. That people in America, especially from here, you can have a celebration. And this celebration, that we were even able to laugh and rejoice together. And he made fun of me because I put on a jacket. It was cold yesterday. And because in America, in churches and places of gatherings, you never predict, you never know what will happen. Usually, it is very cold. So we are just so blessed, honored to be here at this church. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. Thank you so much for another opportunity to come and be with you and share the love of God with you. So, Margaret.
Thank you so much for having us. You know, when Pastor said that I put back my shoes, that's something that came back into my mind. The Bible says that our feet should always be ready to go out there and take the gospel. Back at home, many people don't put on shoes. And when you're in the house and you're putting on shoes, somebody will ask you, where are you going? Because you don't put on shoes if you're not going anywhere. We are so much blessed to be here. We come from a different culture, and we will learn so many things. Like yesterday we were saying, these people are so much blessed. You never see people where we are just talking to people they don't know. They don't just shake hands. They don't just fellowship. We always keep quiet. We pass by. When I go back home, I tell them, in the U.S., people are so loving. They keep on smiling. So I tell my people in church, even if they don't know you, they'll show you their teeth. At home, if somebody does that, you will wonder, does they know me? Why did they smile? We love you guys. We love you people. It's a blessing to be here. And we love this church. We love Pastor. We love Pastor. And we love you guys. And we really don't know why. Is it that these people are not releasing you to come to Africa? We extend our invitations that Pastor may come and be a blessing to our people. He has a treasure, and we need it where we are. Thank you. God bless you.
So, okay, let me say it when I'm still here. Then I'll go up. So love requires that Pastor Mark, no, I can go up. Yeah, I just want to say that love requires that you come to Africa. Especially Bungoma, where we come from. Well, thank you. Thank you. Such a blessing that I'll share what is on my heart, and we're going to get it from the word from the book of Mark. We just so blessed to be here. We have a church in Bungoma. And we have a Bible school where we train, people come from different places and they're trained in the Word of God. And we just teach them the word and let them become what God wants them to become. And we don't make anybody anything, but you just teach the word of God. And also we have a children's home, and we have also a program to feed street children, that we do that every day. And so we just honored by the Lord to be part of what he's doing in the world. And we are just so blessed to be connected with you, to you, and to know you, and to know this place through Deb and through Roy and Deb, and also through Pastor. Thank you so much. So I was not told how long to preach, and this is such an honor that you're not told how long you're going to preach. So, but don't worry. So I also very careful what, if I'm making a joke, I'll be very, very careful in America. There's a day I was in some place in America preaching, and I made this joke. I said, in Africa, we preach for a long time. If you are tired, if you can't make it sit for a long time, you need to come for prayer. That was supposed to be a joke. And someone in the congregation stood up and came forward. So I didn't know how to behave. I said, Lord, help me never to say something that we call cultural difference. It's just like yesterday, you're making jokes, you're laughing, and we laugh at the end because we didn't understand the joke. It was a joke, but we didn't understand it. So I make a joke, and people don't understand, or they just don't get the joke. So I said, okay, different world altogether. Be like Jesus. No jokes, just preach. From the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. One day, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we begin with the first part of that in verse 35, that the evening has come and Jesus and his disciples have been working the whole day. And Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side. I like that part, going from where they were to another place. Life is a progression, and you cannot be in the same place for a long time. God is always causing us to move from one place to another. Let me put it this way, that God is always causing us to move from faith to faith, from glory to glory, to grow every day and to experience new life every day. because that's what makes our Christian life very exciting, because it is not boring and cannot be boring. It is adventurous. And sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes we go through easy times, but it's all expected in this life. So we can't be in the same place for a long time. God always, Jesus will ask his disciples, we go on. Let's move on from this place of success. I'm looking at this place as a place of success where they've had a great meeting. People have been healed. Many good things have happened. And Jesus said, we go to the other side. So along going to the other side has challenges to get to the other side. He tells you to go, but you don't know what is on the way. So you just obey the word and begin to walk along with him. He said, okay, we're going to the other side. And on this, as they are crossing, Jesus gets down in the boat and begins to sleep. And he slept, and the Bible says it was a deep sleep. And in that, the storm arose. A storm, a great storm. And it was filling up the boat. And they began to cry for their lives. They began to get water out of the boat because the water was filling up. And they went to him, woke him up. Don't you care that we are perishing? And he wakes up from his sleep. And he calms the storm so easily. And he asked them, why were you afraid? I was with you. If we were to perish, then I was also to perish. But Jesus was in the boat. Wow. So, the wind of life, and we usually see that sometimes, you know, we can read on the news or we hear about natural disasters and things that happen in the world. You have that. It happens sometimes and we don't know. But then we have the wind or the things that tossed us to and fro in our lives in this world, because first of all, we live in the world. We live in a fallen world. And so we face the storms of life. Sometimes just because there's no electricity. Oh, okay. Here, you never experience that lack of electricity. Okay. At home, we have electricity, and then the next minute, it's gone. When you're not expecting, when you're having a service in the morning, when you want to use the sound system to reach the people who are very far, and electricity goes off without warning, and they're not going to, there's nowhere to complain, there's only one company, and there's no competition, so they can raise your bill when they want to, and this month you can pay $50, next month you can pay up to $500, or this month you can pay $200, and nobody, you can't question. So they'll come, disconnect your electricity, and then if you go to complain, but this is not my bill, it's okay. You pay the bill, we give you back your electricity, we reconnect you, then you can complain. There's nowhere to complain. You can't take them anywhere. That's just natural when we live in a fallen world and we get such storms. What you didn't expect, but it's just there. So we have storms of life that come into our lives. I'll just call them, you know, the natural storms. Some of them are just demonic oppositions that you go to preach or do the work of the ministry, or you want to get where you need to go, but there's opposition. And Paul says that effectual and fervent doors are open before me, but there are so many adversaries. And you want to do what God has called you to do. You want to get where you need to go, but there's opposition. This opposition could be coming from the one who doesn't love God, the one who is the enemy, the devil, the liar, the discourager. He doesn't want you to move to where you need to get to. Evil coming against us not to fulfill the will of the Father. So we have different kinds of opposition. We have also some storms that are caused by ourselves. Oh, as I grow up, I'm finding out that I'm gaining some wisdom. And this is what I say, that I just began gaining wisdom recently. And I found out that as I gain wisdom, I don't have enough time to do everything I want to do. So I talk to my children, have a meeting with my children, and talk to them, my sons. I have a 25-year-old, and a 20-year-old, and a 16-year-old. So talk to them about life. Say, you need to make decisions about your life. So, oh, Dad, we are young. We have all this time. There's so much time ahead of us, we even don't know what to do with it. I said, no, you don't have a lot of time ahead of you. Time is so short, is so limited, and once you lose it, you can't find it. You can't get it. You can't, once it's used, you can't reuse it. And you are 20, you'll be 25, you'll be 30, and you can't get back to 30. Once it's gone, it's gone. So, oh, Dad, you're just saying that because you're getting old. So, I said, okay, but you can get some wisdom from someone who's getting older. Because someone who's getting older has seen much, and someone who's getting older has more experience in life, and they can guide you. So, many mistakes that we have made in life, maybe it was because we didn't listen. Maybe because we did obey. Maybe because we just caused it in our lives, ourselves. We allowed lack of action or actions. You know, it can be inactivity or activity. I can do something that will cause me trouble, or I can just decide not to make any decision about my life, just like what we are sharing here about loving. I can decide not to love and just be there, not do anything. That's also this result for everything. There is is that the right word? Results for everything. This harvest for everything I sow. If I sow inactivity, I reap nothing. If I sow the right seeds, I reap a good harvest. If I sow bad seeds, then I reap a bad harvest. Wow. Then, there's also storms that come because God allows them to come in our lives. And look at this man called Jonah. Jonah is disobedient. God tells him, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. So Jonah says, I'm not going to Africa. I'm going to California on the beach. So God says, but okay, you think you go to California instead of going to Africa. Africa also has a beach, you know. So he decides to go a different way because of disobedience. You know what disobedience does to us? When we disobey, when we don't obey God, and God wants things done, and he wants to use us. This is what I've always said. Oh, wow. If God wants to speak, and I'm not willing to be used, he will use someone else. He does that. But sometimes, he says, I will use someone else at your expense. The expense is that you need to grow and become more useful and become more fruitful, become more fruitful in the kingdom. So if God uses, have you ever been in the service and you feel like, we feel like saying something. I think I should say that. It's like the Holy Spirit speaking to me or through me. Can I say it? Oh, no, I don't say it. I let people like Deb say it, or Roy, or Catherine, or Nancy. Let them say that. Now, they're kind of, they're free to say it. And then just after you just not say it, then someone else says what you were supposed to say. So, I wanted to say that. Okay, you missed the opportunity to say it. So God used someone else to say it. But still, there's an open door for us to say what we were supposed to. So God still wants to use us. But in the case of Jonah, God wanted to use Jonah to go preach the gospel to Nineveh. Is that the right word? How pronounced it in English? Nineveh. Oh, okay. We go Nineveh. That's how we pronounce it in our language. Nineveh. So Jonah gets on a ship to go a different direction altogether. And God says, you're still going to get where I want. Jonah was so stubborn that in the ship, on his way go to where he was going, he was thrown into the ocean or the sea. A big fish swallowed Jonah. Three days, Jonah was just quiet in the fish. He's a Christian. I mean, if he has God. This day we'll say he's a Christian. He knows God. He's supposed to be praying. No, Jonah didn't pray. No pray. I'm not going to where he swallowed me, whatever it is, I'm not going to pray. The third day, Jonah called on the name of the Lord. Circumstances forced him to call on the name of the Lord. So, when he called on the name of the Lord gave him a free transportation to where he was supposed to preach. Thank God for free transportation, because that's what we all have. You know, when you're willing, there's free transportation to wherever you need to go. Hallelujah. And there at the beach, there were some Americans who had come for a holiday. Some people of Nineveh who were at the beach, maybe fishing, maybe just enjoying the beach, maybe surfing. A big fish comes. Wah! Someone comes out of the fish. If he was black like me, he was white. Bleached. And the first thing Jonah says, repent. And the whole place repented. People turned to God. Jonah finally did what he was called to do, what he was asked to do. But at the beginning, he disobeyed. He didn't want to do it. He postponed it, but he did it. That's the thing with the calling of God upon your life. You can postpone it, and later on you end up doing it. If you're asked to do something, you can say, no, I don't think it's the right time. I don't want to do it now. I have other things to do. Then later on, you find yourself in the same place doing. Maybe you guys don't want, maybe I'm just talking with myself. Maybe that's what happens to me. Yeah, that when I'm, God tells me to do something, I say, oh yeah, that one sounds good, but I'm not going to do it now. I'll do it another time. 2 years later, I find myself doing the same thing. What if I had done it the time God told me to do it? So some preacher preached, and I was interpreting for him. He was preaching in English, and turned to me and said, Justice, if you had done everything that God has ever told you to do in this world, you will not be the way you are and not be the same person. You'll be different. And turn and say, wow, that just spoken to me, because God has spoken to me to do many, many things many, many times. Well, what do I do? I said, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. I'll do it another time. I keep on postponing what God has asked me to do. God lays on my heart to pray for someone. So I think I'll pray later. And especially for us ministers, people who know the Lord and we love Jesus, and he puts it on your heart. And then you hear something bad happen or something different happen. And they, wow, I had it on my heart, but you didn't do anything about it. Well, he still loves us. But it will do better if I obeyed what Jesus told me to do. So either way, different kinds of storms of life. Some storms that come because of worry, because of other things, some things that come to our life and cause us to worry, cause us to be concerned about tomorrow, about what will happen, about our lives. The bottom line about this thing that I'm sharing this morning is like Jesus was right there in the boat. He was there. He was there with them. And so when they say, Lord, we are perishing, you don't care? He cares. He cares. He loves. He cares. He's always there with us. Say, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you until the end of time. So Jesus rose and said, peace be still. Peace be still. Let there be peace. Let there be calm. That even when there is storm in this life, Jesus can still say, peace be still. And the Bible says, and there was calm. So why were you afraid? Why were you afraid? If I were there, I'll say, I was afraid for my life. I was going to die. I was afraid for my life. I was afraid for this. I was afraid for that. But sometimes we get afraid over things. We get afraid over challenges and concern about our lives. But Jesus is there with us to go, to help us go through the storm and take us to the other side. Because the mission was not to bring us in the middle of the ocean or the sea, but to take us to the other side. So he gave them peace. And there was peace. So how do we calm these storms in life? He is the one who does it. But what we need to do, we need to trust. And to trust, to have faith in him. Because sometimes we are afraid. We are perishing. But Jesus says, I am there. Do not be afraid. Don't lack faith. Do not be afraid. How do we go through these storms? By believing his word. His promises. His promises are, he'll never leave and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. How do we go through these storms? Through prayer. We ask to receive mercy, to receive grace, to help us in time of need. Sometimes when we are anxious, when we are afraid, we don't know. He said, pray, ask. If anyone is happy, let him sing. And if you are going through some challenges or you are sick, pray. Or you ask for the elder to come and pray for you. That's now when other people come in, my brothers and my sisters, come in to do what? To stand with me and to hold me, just like we did with our sister here, and gave him a big hug, gave her a big hug, and encouraged her. I need that so much. You needed that. And we need it. And so, because now we need one another, we pray for one another, we stand for one another. How do we go through it? By sacrificing. Because sometimes we're just afraid of, oh, I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want that to happen. We need to live for Jesus. If we live for Jesus, we live a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice where he says that if you love your life to the point that you don't want to give it away, you want to save it, you lose it. And if you don't love your life to the point of giving it away, risking it for others, and for Jesus, then you shall have it. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and for the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives even unto death. They were willing to give out their lives before the Lord. And the Bible says that's how we overcame. They overcame the devil. That's how we will overcome the enemy, by giving our lives and sacrificing our lives and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lastly, there's no temptation in this world that can overtake us except that, like that which is common to man. Because God is faithful. What we go through, God is faithful to get us through. So he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, what we are able. He will always also make a way of escape. And every time we escape, we come out victoriously, singing and shouting, thank you, Jesus, for doing it for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are in our lives. So I'll not take advantage of not being told what time to stop. Love always requires. I had a sermon this morning. Love always requires me to do something. And one of them is not to take advantage of the time. So thank you so much for the opportunity. Can we pray? Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for our time together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You are always there for us. You never leave, you never forsake. You promise to be with us until the end of time. Father, we commit our brothers and sisters who go through different situations, hard times. Father, who could be going through the storms of life, challenges of different kinds, could be financial, could be relationships, could be health issues, could be anything. Anything that has come against us, Lord, we pray for a way of escape, that you always make a way out. Father, we speak for pray for blessings, we pray for healing, we pray for restoration. Lord, that you make all things beautiful in your time. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name.